What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
This is driving me nuts. I don't know why this is outrageous to anybody other than misinformation. But it's the eighth story, biggest story in the country right now. Trump administration sells $500 million of Venezuelan oil. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm seeing comments even from our side on this.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just I'm very frustrated. But okay, number one thing people are getting wrong, Trump seized the oil. Trump stole the oil. Trump took their oil.
Sanctioned oil.
No, he didn't. He did not. They gave him the oil.
Yeah.
He asked and they gave it to him to sell for them. They're going to get more money for it with Trump selling it because the sanctions don't apply if we sell it.
Right.
And people say, well, you shouldn't go in and take people's oil. No, he didn't go in and take the oil. That's the thing. He did two things, okay? And people on our side, I'm really worried people on our side are going to misunderstand what's happening here. Two things. Number one, what he did was take Maduro with an arrest warrant for the crimes that he committed after Maduro was indicted. In order to protect those arresting Maduro, he sent in the military. Okay, so that's thing number one Trump is doing, right? Now, I will say, getting a look at that sonic, apparently energy-directed weapon that they used, that no one's ever seen before, was apparently kind of terrifying. It really did apparently make an impression on the Venezuelan leadership, right? So, you know, maybe a little more cooperative than they used to be, but there's no rules or laws that says that the military can't use the best weapons we have.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
I don't either. What are we supposed to use, the secondary or third weapons?
No,
we use the best we have. Well, we didn't know we had it. Cool, we have it. All right. So, all right, that's thing number one. That was totally legal. Thing number two is the blockade. Right now, thanks to the sanctions power given to Trump by bipartisan majorities in Congress, that, by the way, this oil has been sanctioned in some form since Barack Obama's administration. Mm-hmm. Yep. Obama signed the sanctions and kept him up. Biden signed the sanctions and kept him up. Trump signed the sanctions and kept him up. What Trump did was actually read the sanctions.
Yes.
And went, oh, I got all of these powers. I can go blockade. Yes, you can. So he did. So he's got the oil blockaded. He can do that. It's sanctioned oil. So those are two separate things that are going on. Trump did not take the oil. Well, we shouldn't be involved in foreign conflicts where our president goes and steals the oil. He did it. They gave it to him. They literally handed it to him.
Yeah.
They're going to get more money for it than they would have otherwise.
Because under sanctioned oils, they were selling it at a discount.
Yes.
That's what was going on because it's not supposed to be out there. So they weren't getting nearly what it was worth.
Now, somebody did steal the oil and the oil revenues, and that was Maduro.
Yes.
We have, by the way, what they like to do, they would transfer it to overseas accounts. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these Venezuelan leaders, while the people starved and literally ate zoo animals, they literally stole the oil revenues, including from ConocoPhillips and Exxon, who, by the way, have got international judgments. They are owed $12 billion by Venezuela.
Because the Venezuelan government under Maduro, well, Chavez and then Maduro, nationalized their property that they went in and installed there to take care of, to, you know, refine and distribute the oil.
Yeah. So, yes, absolutely, we can take the oil. We can take the oil three ways to heaven legally, depending on which direction you want to go with it. Trump could theoretically just take all the oil and pay them back to pay the judgment, but he's not. They are going to, I assume, get some of the revenue, but I don't know about Exxon at this point, but they're going to get some of it. But what is happening was Maduro stole the oil. How did he steal the oil? Well, he literally actually physically stole the oil from our companies, as you just explained, Lee, but he stole the election.
Yeah, well, that too.
And that is well documented.
Yes.
UN agrees.
Yeah,
Reuters agrees. The New York Times agrees.
International condemnation of that whole thing, that it was a sham election.
Yes. So he stole the election and stole the oil and the oil revenues from the people and the U.S. companies. So Trump is taking it back. This is the only way that the Venezuelan people are going to see any kind of revenue from this oil. That is why they were eating zoo animals. And women with advanced and postdoc degrees were selling their bodies to feed their children because they stole the oil. Trump took it back. He is not the bad guy. But the main reason I still think that we wanted to blockade that port, it was they were running the Russian oil through there, cleaning it up, running the Iranian oil through there. And that is why you are seeing Iran collapsing right now, is because Trump just blockaded the ports. Iran can't move its oil. The beauty of it is 70% of the oil, again, that China buys comes from Iran or Russia or Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
And they're plumb screwed right now, which is kind of funny.
All tied together.
But it's all legal.
Yeah.
And that is why, hold on with the music, because I want to sort of bookend this. That is why you saw that vote yesterday in the Senate. Remember, they were going to take away Trump's war powers.
Yeah, exactly. And some of the Republicans had voted to go along with that.
Yep.
But
they switched their votes.
They certainly
two of them did.
Did.
Why? I think when people started screaming about this, they were just reading liberal media headlines and thinking, oh, Trump went in there and war, invade. Oh, you mean we gave him the power to do everything he did? Yes. Oh, he got a court order under the sanctions to do this? Yeah. They don't have a leg to stand on. I think a lot of this was just misunderstanding from some of these Republicans. Well, literally didn't get good information.
I also have a feeling that the Trump administration has given these senators assurances that there's not going to be long-term boots on the ground. This is not an invasion. This is a police action, and that particularly in Venezuela, and that you know, we're not going to see these, you know, forever wars with boots on the ground and occupations going on, that we can do what we need to do, you know, cyber attack, air attack, sea attack, whatever, or, you know, legal seizure, by law enforcement, and that we can handle it that way. It doesn't have to be done the way it's always been done, the old way.
Yes. So Trump is totally legally in the right. The irony, if they took away his War Powers Act, he could still do everything.
Yeah.
If that had passed, he took away his War Powers or that act had passed, he could still do everything he did in Venezuela. That's the hilarious part. But yeah, you know, the percentage of Americans who know that, roughly equal to the number of people listening to the show right now. So need maybe a little better messaging, but hey, I can't wait to see what he does next, Lee. This is high entertainment. I've never seen America fought for so hard with so much common sense in all my life.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Ryder remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Investigative journalist Nick Shirley doing what the entire mainstream media, including, I'm ashamed to say, ours, right-wing media couldn't do. $100 million. This is what got everybody's attention with the initial video that went viral on X. Documented $100 million of Somali fraud in just 24 hours or 51 minutes. In his first video. Well, he's got a second video out, and it's just his jaw dropping. When you watch, you think there's no way the authorities didn't know this. So picture this. He's walking down a Main Street style street, you know, where there's not parking lots. There's just, you know, side street parking. And they're just going to these transportation companies, which Dave, his sidekick, says he's been researching this stuff for years. So that's really the big fraud basket. It's not even the daycares. There's 1,040 of these companies, and they get paid money by the federal government to just drive people to medical appointments. Except nobody ever checks if there's any clients. They just cash the checks. So they just start going door to door down the street. And on the street, there's a lot of Somali businesses. This is an incredible video if you get a chance to watch it. Here, you can get it with the audio, though. He walks into the first business. Now, you know, picture this. It's the business is very small. It's only maybe twice the size of my studio you see me broadcasting from right now. In other words, it's very small. In other words, it's fake. It's a storefront. It's meant to look like something's going on there. But the only actual business that's there is a money transferring business. There is no safari transportation business there, even though it's registered to the state.
We're looking for the transportation company.
Safari Transportation?
Looking for Safari Transportation?
No, there's no Safari Transportation here.
No Safari Transportation?
Safari Transportation is 607 seater.
We're just looking for Safari Transportation.
We don't know.
So, but this is registered for Safari Transportation, 607.
That's the address.
Okay, we don't know.
We're asking where Safari Transportation is.
We don't know.
Okay, so the business is not here.
Dorikar.
Fuad Omar?
Fuad Omar.
We don't know. This. Do you see this? What is this?
Money transferring.
That's it.
Okay,
well, this
registered. This is fraud taking place. This is supposed to say, this is for Safari Transportation.
Go find out.
Yeah, we did find out. This is fraud right here.
Registered here.
This is registered.
2015?
Safari Transportation, state of Minnesota.
So we don't know 2015,
huh? Oh, yeah. Well, but it's registered now. This is current, just off the state of Minnesota website today.
Sir, please.
This is from today.
Okay, so it's a fraudulent business.
Did you see Safari, anything here?
Exactly.
Did you see?
Exactly, it's
did
not
you
here.
See it?
Yeah, but a money transferring business, though. By the way, they got paid $2.4 million. You should see the storefront. It's a joke. So they go out the front door, go two doors down to the next transportation business. It has bars across the front, no parking, no vans, no cars, and it says it's a liquor store. The transportation business is nowhere to be found, but it gets paid millions of dollars.
And now we're going to 617, another transportation company. However, it is actually Cedar Riverside Liquor. Where is the transportation company?
617.
617
Dream
right
Line
here?
Transportation per the state of Minnesota is registered to 617 Cedar Avenue South.
And it's a liquor store. David, they aren't even trying to hide that these are transportation companies. Where are the vans at?
Should we ask?
Let's go ask.
Hey, we're looking for Dream Line Transportation.
Now we're in 617.
Same response. Not here, not here. You go away. Of course it's not there. But back to the only business they did seem to be running in the first storefront. It was a storefront. It was a joke. The money transferring business. I guess where they transfer the money back to Somalia. So you go to work every day, you pay your taxes, and then they transfer your taxes to Somalia is the way it works. And Democrats are fine with it. Here's the mind-blowing interview, though. This is a TSA whistleblower who talks about seeing all the money go out of the Minnesota airport. And folks, a couple of stats here that'll blow your mind on this, okay? Because we're finding out more about the money that was transferred out. Remember on Friday, $700 million in cash transferred out of the Minnesota airport by Somali men. They ran it through Dubai, and then we don't know what happened to it after that. We think it went to Somalia. In the last year alone, $349 million in cash. That's almost $1 million a day. Out the door. Okay, now just the news has found another leg of this. Apparently, Somalis out of Ohio moved $136 million in bulk cash transports out of John Glenn Columbus International Airport, which is in Ohio, and then they flew it to Minneapolis for some reason, then flew it to Somalia. Okay, to give you an idea, the cash, listen to this, it's mind-boggling. The cash movements out of Minnesota's largest airport by the Somali immigrant couriers were 90 to 99 times larger than the total amounts moved out of major international airports like John F. Kennedy Airport in New York or Seattle. 90 to 99 times larger. Now, no doubt, there's an innocent explanation, right, for some of this cash. I mean, sure, 80% of Somalis in America are on some form of welfare, but I mean, there must be an honest Somali billionaire who likes to employ people to fly millions of dollars around in cash every day, right? Or no? Oh, you're right. He could just transfer it out of one of those Somali businesses, right? Why would he need to? I don't know. But here's the kicker, just to show you the scale of the fraud. Folks, you need to think about, start to think about the Democrat Party as an international crime cartel, masquerading as a party, who also happen to be functionally insane in their views, but an international criminal cartel. Listen to this. It is now estimated that the Somali fraud sucked up 50% of Minnesota's Medicaid spending. That's federal dollars. Somali, let me repeat that, okay? Because you're thinking, I didn't hear that right. Somali fraud sucked up 50% of Minnesota's Medicaid spending. 90,000 Somalis did that. And God knows how much else around the country. 50. And folks, it wasn't like the TSA, at the airports ignored the cash. They reported it again and again and again to the federal government. They went to federal prosecutors. I played you that audio from another TSA agent. They reported it to the FBI. They reported it to the DEA. Nobody was interested. Nobody was interested. And when did the very large bulk transfers of cash by Somali men begin going through the Minnesota airport? 2015. Oh, what do you hear this? Next. Barack Obama did this. And it makes sense. He brought a lot of them here and they couldn't sustain themselves, so he had to feed them. So, you know, ways and means. Ways and means. Folks, all of this to turn Minnesota from a red state to a blue one. And it worked. Here's where this gets worse. As we learn, Obama administration officials knew all about the illegal money transfers. The money transfers weren't illegal. It was the fraud behind them that was illegal. Here's Nick Shirley in the third part of his latest video interviewing a TSA whistleblower who worked at the Minneapolis airport. Watched Somali men move the money. Notice the years this starts, the years this is going on. This started under Obama.
What kind of fraud did you see take place here in Minnesota?
So I worked for the airport police for 31 years. 24 of those years I worked in narcotics at MSP Airport. And from about 2015-16 to 2021, when I retired, I would get emails from our dispatch saying, like, two male Somali descent individuals. They would give us their names. They claimed the cash, that they had a large amount of cash at the checkpoints. We'd get all this information in an email. The smallest amount in a suitcase was like $750,000. But generally, it was anywhere from $1 million to $6 million in a suitcase. And there usually was, there, as far as I can remember, there was always two individuals traveling. So you would have maybe one guy with $2.2 million and another guy with $3 million. As far as I know, as long as they declared it, they were fine. So then TSA would contact HSI and Customs, and I'm sure they got the information. We got the information. My administration knew about it, and I trust that they sent that on to higher state officials on this, but nothing was ever done the whole time I was there. I talked to one individual. We were going after narcotic cash leaving the airport. This was always fraud. We had no nexus to that this cash was related to narcotics. So our hands were kind of tied. We couldn't do a whole lot.
How do you suspect these Somalians had millions of dollars to move in an airport?
We would rack our heads all the time, like, where are they getting this? Where in the world are they getting this money? And I had heard about these daycares and whatnot, but I thought at the time, okay, maybe they had 10 daycares, but apparently they have a lot more than that.
How much money do you think moved through the airport in your time?
Millions, literally millions and millions. I mean, we're talking for a good 5-6 years, you're talking, I don't know, 5 to 6 million a week. It would happen twice a week. You would get twice a week where there would be somebody flying, two people flying out with $1 to $2 to $3 to $4 or $5 million twice a week.
Unbelievable. So he sees this start in 2015. Obama, in his first term, began letting tens of thousands of Somalis into the country. He had to find a way to pay for them. We didn't have jobs for them. And quite frankly, a lot of them are too illiterate to get the jobs that we have here. He was afraid they'd go home. So he had to pay. That's what happened. You know what's interesting? He's already retired, okay? He was hearing about the Somali daycare fraud in 2015. Remember, the last TSA agent I played for you, he actually went to the Department of Justice under Joe Biden and turned him in for all this money. Couldn't get the prosecutor interested at all. So that was during the Biden administration. So people have been turning these people in, Biden administration, Obama administration. And let me tell you what's going on here. Somalia is 99% Sunni Muslim, okay? Everybody else is dead, that's why. It's how they roll in their country. There's no Shia there. There's no Jews there. There's no Christians. There's no non-Muslim. They just kill you. It's a very violent place. Under Sunni Islam, you can be a very good person and do this. I'm sure many of these people who are stealing are very good people. Wait, what? It's fraud. No, it's not. It's takia. They morally have the right in Sunni Islam to take land, women, girls, all your property and kill you if you are not Muslim. That is why that country is 99% Sunni Islam. There are no Shia. Shia are dead. Anybody who's not Sunni is dead. But in, you know, occasions where they choose, if you have a lot of valuables under their religion and moral system, this is their culture. You got to respect it. If you do, you got to respect it. They brought it with them. We knew what we were taking on. They didn't care. Democrats didn't care. Why? Because remember the other thing about Sunnis. They vote Democrat at a higher rate than any other group of people on earth, including black people. Nobody votes. So they don't care. So this is takia. It is not morally wrong before God. In fact, it is God's bounty for you. You can take, and what we would call stealing, but it's not for that, from non-believers. Now, you cannot steal from a believer. That is just it. There is even a belief, and you know, when I first heard about this, Osama bin Laden would do these broadcasts in Saudi Arabia. It was amazing to read them translated to English. That God would provide, Allah, sorry, not God, would provide bounty from the non-believers to sustain the believers. It's their birthright. So you have to understand when they do this, our side, we're still not getting it. Our side, their side, I don't think Democrats care as long as they vote for them. This is their birthright. That's why they all do what we call stealing. To them, it's not. And this is what happens when you're not curious about the cultures you're importing. And you don't care. Or you just assume, oh, they'll adopt our way of life. They won't. And that's why the fraud is so widespread.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.